Michelin-starred British chef Jason Atherton of Marina Social, Intercontinental Dubai Marina, brings us British Mediterranean-inspired cuisine. He's been a busy man since we last met over a year ago, winning more awards and opening new restaurants. And there are new additions to the menu. I caught up with Jason at the restaurant overlooking the fine views of the Marina waterfront, and Jason filled me in on the new openings.
We try our best to keep ourselves super busy, so we've launched three new restaurants in London since we last saw you. So we're Shisharu, our Japanese restaurant in Clerkenwell, going extremely well. As you know, Chef Alex, our chef there, has won numerous awards for the restaurant, so we're very, very thrilled about Shisharu, which is our take on a Japanese izakaya. We've just, our newest one, Hey Chinato, is our new Italian restaurant, serving pizza but New York style. With super grilled recipes and some simple salads and some lovely Italian desserts. Got a nice deli on the side of it. So that's going extremely well. Paul Hood, our chef from Social Eating House, launched that with me together. And we also did a grill restaurant, a very simple grill restaurant, which is called Temple & Sons, which is based on a Victorian grocery store. It's got a pub underneath it, so that's also going great. And that's in the City of London, next to City Social. And then what else we launched? It's in Australia, Sydney, we launched since we last met. So we've done Kensington Street Social, which is pretty similar to Marina Social, actually. So we had a lot of fun down under. And and now we're concentrating on going around the estate, changing menus, keeping an eye on things. So, yeah, so it's been exciting.
Jason hosted an event on Tuesday with influential chefs, Marina Social's chef patron, Tristan Farmer, and old friend, Chef Colin Clegg of Roya, Dubai. On the menu were dishes like feta borek, sashimi sea bass, and seared foie gras with pickled Turkish cherries and simit. It was great to see these three chefs coming together in one kitchen, and Jason explains how we first met Colin.
I've known Colin, gosh, I started eating Colin's food back in Zuma in London, and he became a great friend, and his food has always inspired me. I just think he's a great cook. You know, he's from the Isle of Man, but he can't help that. and apart from that, he's this amazing guy who just, you know, he's got more international experience than any man I know. He's worked in more countries than any man I know, and he's, I'm so happy that he's now got his home at Roya, and he's being looked after, and he's doing really well, and you know, he's bringing it to London, so he's expanding himself, and he deserves it. You know, he's worked damn hard in his life, and he's a good guy.
Now, what caught my attention off the menu was Jason's contribution to the evening, the whole roasted and honey glazed duck, and I asked Jason to share the recipe.
Yep, so it's something I used to do many years ago. I used to work at a restaurant called L'Auberge de Lille in Alsace. I worked the rotisserie section. It's a different recipe, but it's a similar sort of thing. We used to have chicken and ducks for two on the menu, and they'd be done on the rotisserie, and then it was always glazed in honey when it came off, with different herbs throughout the year. So in the winter it would be thyme, in the summer it would be peach blossom and all sorts of stuff. So we've done it with black pepper, honey and lavender, and then we serve that with, so we steam it and then we roast it in the oven, and then we serve it with celeriac, wild mushrooms, what's up in season. This time's going to be morels and pied de bleu. And then we take the legs off, we roast them in sumac and Persian flavors, and saffron and all those beautiful things, and then we serve that with a nice salad on top. So you get it in two serves and a bit of duck gravy. I don't like to call it jus because it all sounds a bit French. We call it gravy back home.
And glazed in honey.
Yeah, because I try and support as much local industry as possible back home. And in Islington, we have a lot of bee farms which sit on people's houses. You get a lot of support from the local council if you do it. And what it does is helps pollinate all the parks in London, because the bees, they live on top of people's houses, flats, apartments, whatever it may be. And then they go into the parks, pollinate the flowers, keep the whole ecosystem going. And then obviously they need to sell their honey. So we buy a lot of their honey, and it's one dish we can use it.
You do a lot of philanthropy, actually, Jason. I was looking, you know, the charities you support, and also chefs as well, helping chefs in the industry.
Yeah, I think it's, I think, listen, I feel very privileged at the age of 45 to have a wonderful life from, okay, it's a lot of hard work, but from being a chef. And I think it's important that I take care of what I have for the next generation and pass it down to them, to hopefully set an example of how to behave and conduct yourself within our wonderful industry, and how important it is to train the next generation, and not just teach them about cooking, but restaurateuring, business, everything from, you know, how you look after other restaurateurs and general just good stuff. And one of those is obviously our work with charities. And so we know I invented a charity called Social Sundays, which goes on once a year, which helps Hospitality Action. We raise between £50,000 to £75,000 in a day. And we shut all our restaurants for a day, all the take-ins go over, and we work with other chefs who come in as guest chefs. So it's just a lot of fun, you know.
Talking to Michelin-starred chef Jason Atherton, and when I come back, find out how to best cook your duck at home from frozen. Jason gives his tips, and we find out what's new on the menu at Marina Social, Intercontinental Hotel, Dubai Marina. Stay with me. So spending time with Michelin-starred chef Jason Atherton of Marina Social at the Intercontinental Hotel Dubai Marina. And they have many events that run throughout the days of the week. Monday's Social Club, where I sat down to some great food. From 7 till 10, you get a nice package of snacks, starter, main course and dessert with drinks for a tidy sum. Really lovely. We started off with salad of snow peas, Persian feta, mint and radish, and then the spiced duck leg salad, pickled kohlrabi, radish and honey dressing, in keeping with our conversation about duck with Jason. And I asked him about cooking duck at home from frozen and if that's something he'd recommend.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, hey, a really, really simple thing for you to do, you know, if you get a whole, if you're lucky enough to get your hands on a whole duck, just take the breasts off, take the legs off. Freeze the legs, you know, it also helps tenderize them. So, and then confit them for another time or braise them or whatever you may be. And then with the breasts, they keep really well frozen. So just make sure you wrap them up, seal them really well, and they keep for quite a long time. Take them out, let them defrost naturally. Don't try and defrost them in water because they act like sponges, so they'll take them on. And then rather than do what we do where you steam them, just score the skin so the heat can penetrate it. Just a tiny little bit of oil in the pan, not too much because a lot of fat will come off the skin. Salt it, put it skin side down, let the fat render, what we call render, and it'll just keep rendering, keep tipping it off, but keep the fat, right? Here's the thing. Then mix that with a little bit of honey, get a little bit of Chinese spice, like maybe five spice, cinnamon, lemongrass, whatever it may be. Chop it all up, mix it with that, then brush it all over the ducks. Turn them the other way around, let them bake in the oven so the underside cooks at the same time. Won't need long, 5-10 minutes. Bring them out and then serve them with whatever you want to be, braised cabbage or whatever, and you've got lovely Chinese style honey roasted duck.
And you mentioned their ducks, you could do a couple at a time in the oven.
Absolutely. And you can even do that, you can even do it the other way around, where you can do it fresh, cook them and then freeze the meat, you know, and then shred it down, make lovely pancakes with it, whatever you want.
Looking at your dessert, banana souffle with ice cream and special ice cream. Talk us through this dish.
Well, I'm always a fan of souffles. I think it's a test of the kitchen. A lot of restaurants out there make bad souffles, so I'm very proud of that. We know we make good souffles. And it's different because it's made with rice. Most soufflés are made with just eggs and creme patisserie. This is a technique we picked up from Japan. So we take sushi rice, we wash it, we overcook it with eggs. So we make basically like a creme anglaise. We cook the rice and it's just like a rice pudding. We overcook it so it goes like porridge. We blend it. We then make our soufflé base with that. And we fold in banana, fresh banana puree. And then we get this amazing banana soufflé what comes out perfect every time. And we serve that with a nice lime and raisin ice cream.
Delicious. When I was in France, I went to a cookery school for 3 days. And souffle, as you would imagine, would be on the agenda for us to learn. And I really enjoyed making a souffle. And it is kind of challenging, but in a way, it was easier than I thought.
If you're taught properly, yes. But the thing is, you know, when you're making a souffle at home is different to making it to time constraints, pressure, when you've got 7 or 8 other things going on at the same time. That's the real test of a chef, you know, because it's not a, you know, making one. Saturday night, I cooked for the children and we made pizza. It took me like 2.5 hours to make pizza because I'm making the bread from fresh or the lovely toppings. And we're just, you know, we're taking our time. We're playing, we're throwing flour at each other. In a real environment, I have 7 minutes to make you a pizza when I'm at my pizza restaurant. That's how it is. You know, if it's any longer than that, people walk out. So it's different, you know.
I mean, your kitchen looks amazing. I'm sitting here looking over at your open kitchen. How many chefs have you got in the kitchen?
there's about 15 of us today getting ready tonight. We're fully booked for dinner. We've got 120 for dinner. And some will go tasting menus, some will go a la carte, some will come in and just have one or two dishes. So it's a varied mix of, you know, and obviously, you know, the guy who comes in for one dish doesn't care that there's a backlog in the kitchen. He cares that he gets his dish when he wants it with his service. And that's the key to a great kitchen, making sure that your timings are always perfect.
And you've got Chef Tristan here as well, doing great things. So share with us what's maybe new on the menu since we last met.
Yeah, sure. I mean, we've got the great classics. We've always kept them on, like the tomato with the burrata, which we can't take off because that's all everyone talks about. We've got, the churros, the truffle churros will stay on, the flatbreads will stay on. But what we've done this time is we've changed over all the meat and fish. We've got a beautiful, amazing spring lamb dish with peas and asparagus, and then wild garlic pesto, which goes onto the new menu. We've got a lovely new sea bass dish, which is Amalfi lemon and citrus, and tomatoes, which is fresh on this week. We've got just a white asparagus cheesecake, which sounds a bit crazy, so that's on there. So we've got lots of new stuff.
Tell me a bit more about the white asparagus cheesecake.
Well, you know, it's one of those things where Tristan wanted to do something a little bit more challenging, so we discussed it over the telephone. White asparagus, believe it or not, works quite well in desserts. And cheese, you know, because you've already bought into the fact of, you know, you're eating cheese as a dessert, because technically we use fresh cheese. We use a lovely brie to make it. So going one step further and adding a vegetable to it is a cool thing.
So on the Monday Social Club, after trying on the main course, the lamb rump, dauphinoise, potatoes, broad beans, courgette and basil puree, and sharing with my friend char-grilled tiger prawns, garlic butter, pak choy, chili crab dressing, it was time for the dessert, and I thought it only polite to try the white asparagus cheesecake, raspberry and thyme jam. Really delicious, very different, very clever. Really recommend it. I also recommend on the dessert menu the parsnip Mr. Whippy. Yeah, talk about bringing your vegetables into your desserts. Now, it's interesting when you look at asparagus. It's one of the three vegetables common in North American cuisine that comes from the perennial plant, along with artichokes and rhubarb. So once the harvest begins, almost as soon as it begins, the plants emerge from dormancy every spring, and the ground defrosts. The massive underground root system pushes out those edible spears at a rate of, 6 inches or more each day. I asked Jason about the seasons and how long we've got to enjoy the asparagus.
White is will be in season now till September. The green will go out in the next couple of months.
So I see you've got your green asparagus with the 2-hour slow cooked egg, hollandaise, foam, black garlic as part of your cold.
What I do here at Mooney Social is we follow the British seasons, right? Because we all know that there is no seasons in Dubai. It's either hot or every now and again it rains, and it gets a little bit less hot. That's the seasons, that's it. So for us as cooks, it's important to have a calendar to work to, otherwise your food becomes lazy. So to challenge ourselves, if we follow the British seasons or the European seasons as it may be, we always know that people like Gerard from Fresh Express gets a lot of our produce from Europe anyway. It's coming in fresh 3-4 times a week, so it enables us to work with like wild garlic's on the menu at the moment. That'll only be in season for another couple of weeks. It'll go. Lobsters are coming in now, the native lobsters, so we'll use them soon. And it's just important for me that we've got a calendar to work to.
You know, you mentioned earlier a lot of ingredients, amazing sort of, you know, herbs and spices, and you're being inspired. What would be a couple of ingredients that are really kind of exciting you at the moment that you're using?
I mean, you know, what I really, really enjoy working with is game when it comes in season. It's probably one of the hardest things to get right. So as a chef, I pepper my menus with game when it comes in August, right the way through till January when it finishes. And I just think it's good for you. It's got high levels of protein. It's wild. It's natural. You can't dictate when it's in season, when it's not. When the teal comes, it comes. When the widgeon comes, it comes. When the grouse comes, it comes. And I like that, you know, and it's like, you can't predict what it's going to be from one year to the next. And I like that unpredictability. Probably my number one ingredient in the entire world is langoustine. I love working with langoustine. Very difficult to get out here because they don't travel. But back home, I get them on a train fresh every day from Glenorak up in Scotland. And they're just one of the most beautiful things to eat in the entire world. I just absolutely adore it.
So what's next after here, after Dubai? What's on the cards for you?
We all know Brexit's going on back home. So we put a stop. We put a stop on things at the moment. We've got 9 restaurants now in the UK. 10 restaurants in the UK, and we want to just make sure that we do a good job. We keep our customers happy. It's unknown entity. What's going to happen? Theresa May is going to get us out of Europe, and we want to make sure that we do it successfully and we do it properly, and we're a good sustainable business. So we're just focusing on what we have at the moment, and then once we know what's going on in a couple of years time, we'll re-go again. And also, I promised my wife a new house this year, so we're doing that. We're not going to open any more restaurants. It's really important for me to spend a couple of years perfecting what I have. You know, I've had numerous opportunities to do more restaurants in Dubai, you name it, and I just don't feel the need to do it. I'm very happy at Marina Social. I want to make Marina Social the best restaurant I possibly can, and that means being one of the best in Dubai. So it means a lot of focus for me and Tristan and the team, and to spread that manpower across Dubai doesn't make any sense to me, you know.
A big thank you to Chef Jason Atherton and his team. Check out online the pictures, what I ate there at Monday Social Club. Go to the website dubaii1038.com/Dubai Today. You can click on the blog post there or check out on our social media. Lots of lovely events to enjoy throughout the week. So they've got ladies' night, sharing social brunch as well, every Friday from 12 till 3. Really worth checking out this great food and great cuisine.